Welcome to another episode of the Agency Podcast, where we explore the forces shaping the future of insurance. I'm your host, Janelle, Senior Marketing Manager. I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Laura. Laura is a key member of the agency team, brings experience in the insurance field and keen insights into how insurtech is transforming our industry. She is with our special guest today, Laura Crompton, in the hot and humid Orlando, Florida. A little bit about Laura, our guest. She is the agency principal at Prepared Insurance. Throughout her career, she has been on the agency side to produce, train, and develop sales leaders. She has also worked on the carrier side for over 9 years, helping with sales teams, underwriting, product development, and claims. She understands this industry as a whole, feels very lucky for her experiences, and is excited to share that with you all today. Hello, Laura. And Laura, how are you both doing today?
Doing well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us. Both share your first names. Do you guys have anything else in common?
Last name initials.
We're both LDs.
Yeah. So we did work together at a major carrier for over 7 years, and I was first to be hired. So I became LC1. She became LC2. And she is my best bud. She has taught me so much in the insurance industry.
Definitely fun to learn and grow together.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. Thank you. I appreciate it.
LC1 and LC2. I love it. So just to kick things off, I wanted to see if we could dive a little bit more on your background, Laura Crompton, or LC2. Can you give us a little bit more details? How long have you been in the industry and what type of insurance do you specialize in, for example?
I've been in the insurance world for about 16 years now, both on the agency side and, like you mentioned, on the carrier side. When I first started on the agency side, we did work kind of in an agency that sold insurance in about 46 different states, and it was all over the phone, so you could imagine how difficult that was. But I had the opportunity to learn how to be a producer. I had the opportunity to then grow throughout the company, becoming a team leader, a performer manager, and eventually a managing partner, which was very, very exciting. I got to coach and develop a lot of young insurance agents, especially on the personal line side, so home, auto, boat, umbrella. Then I decided to move on over to the carrier side, where I learned how to be a marketing rep. So that was definitely different and challenging, but loved it. When I moved to the company that LC1 and I worked together at, I eventually became a regional sales manager over the Carolinas and Florida. So that was definitely exciting to have my own team and coach and develop marketing reps again, you know, and also really diving into the nuts and bolts of what a carrier actually does, you know, and get really involved in underwriting, get really involved in claims handling, marketing, licensing, even.
I was going to say
that has to do.
Exactly. Exactly. You were there every step of the way when we onboarded a new agency. You were helping me get EMO. You were helping me get licenses, you know, making sure that everybody was appointed.
Yeah.
Yep. You had your feet in every place you could.
And it's definitely eye-opening, and it helps me now back on the agency and the A side, especially as an agency principal. I know what goes into being a carrier. Prepared Insurance Agency specializes in all P&C plus life insurance, personal lines, commercial, and then also life insurance. What's cool about us is that with my expertise on the carrier side, I know how to field underwrite what the carriers actually want. You know, sometimes they're going to be like, fortunately, we don't have a place to put this risk. We're going to have to let it walk. Or, you know, I can call a carrier and be like, you're going to want this. And this is, I do like the fact that I have the opportunity to be able to do that. And that I do have friends at the different carriers that understand how I work, you know, what I think is a good risk, because they've taught me what a good risk is. So I could be like, hey, I don't see anything wrong with this, but maybe the system is kicking it. Let's talk about it. Let's vet it out. So I think that's a very unique thing that I can bring to the table.
You brought up the carrier side of things. I wanted to cover an essential topic for new agencies, Laura, how does the new agency get a direct carrier appointment?
This day and age, it is really difficult. If you don't have connections, if you don't know somebody, it is really difficult. I'm sure everybody knows how hard the market has been in the insurance world across the United States, you know, not just in Florida, or the Carolinas, or the Southeast, I mean, everywhere. So without going towards some type of other broker or some type of SIA group, or, you know, we were talking a little earlier about like a we insure, it's definitely difficult to get a direct appointment. I think the carriers are kind of loosening up a little bit, but a lot of carriers are still on an appointment freeze. And then, of course, you have to promise a commitment. So, I mean, starting out from scratch, it's hard to say, hey, I can give you $250,000 in premium the first year because you don't know.
Yeah, I remember when we were working at our carrier together, at first we didn't have that commitment, but I've noticed talking to other agencies and other carriers in what I do now, they're seriously stepping up that requirement because they have costs that they have to cover that they cannot get reimbursed for because the state won't let them.
That's another way to work around.
Yeah. Either you're going to have a premium requirement or a PIF requirement. So it's like, hey, I need you to sell 10 policies a month for me. Otherwise, we're going to have some hard conversations. So picking carriers that you match up for your target market, for what your want to sell, what your niche market is going to be ideal. But, you know, stick at it. Keep annoying them. Try and get that appointment. But don't promise something you can't.
Those are all very good tips. Laura, LC1, brought up something that I wanted to dig in a little bit more as far as when you guys in the carrier side of things, and you guys been in the industry for a very long time. Have you seen any significant shifts? What's your perspective?
Yeah, I'll take that one. When I first got into insurance in the 2008, it was definitely a hard market, believe it or not. I've seen it come cyclical where over the next couple of years, mortgage rates were down. So everyone was refining. So, and insurance companies were hungry for market share. So it was like, boom, boom, boom. Agencies built millions of dollars in books because everybody, once you did a refi, you needed to go ahead and reshop your insurance, right? So people were making a lot of money and it was fantastic. And then the past couple of years, it got real hard again. People decided, or carriers decided, that they didn't want as much market share. You know, unfortunately, there was a lot of non-renewals, which was very difficult with all the storms and everything that was going on. Reinsurance rates went up. So therefore, insurance carrier rates had to go up. Therefore, our home insurance rates had to go up. It was very difficult. But they're saying, knock on wood, this was pre-Hurricane Milton. I don't know if y'all know, but Hurricane Milton is expected to be like a $30 to $50 billion storm. But pre-Hurricane Milton, we were expecting insurance rates to lay flat for 2025. Fingers crossed that actually happens, but we don't know. We'll have to see what happens after the assessment of Hurricane Milton. With natural disasters, it is what it is, right? Going to affect even our rates here in Florida, our rates in North Carolina, our rates in California. That's because the reinsurers insure everywhere.
Exactly. Reinsurance, you know, you write in more than one state, the carrier's reinsurance is going to have to cover all of those states, not just one specific state. But one thing that I have noticed is that carriers still use spreadsheets to manage their licenses and appointments. It's ridiculous. We're in 2024. Why are we not moving into automation at all? I mean, it's just, I mean, that's why I'm so gray. You see these gray hairs. I mean, 10 years at a major carrier and running everything through a spreadsheet. There's just got to be a better way. How is automation helping your business?
Leveraging technology is amazing. We like to touch our customers several times, but it's impossible. Several times a year, but it's impossible to do that. Have, you know, my producers or my CSRs or account managers go ahead and send emails every time somebody has a birthday or 55 days prior to the effective date. Hey, do you want us to shop your renewal? We're going to shop your renewal. When up, we'll give you a call. We've been able to automate all of that through our CRM. So that part of automation has been absolutely fantastic for us. I can imagine you guys automating the appointment process. I mean, I'll tell you, when we get appointed with carriers, you can see the difference of I plug in all the information that we need and boom, 3 days later, you get a login after, you know, we're approved and everything. Some carriers, it takes 4 weeks because everything is manual. I'm excited for you guys to automate that part of getting appointed for insurance.
Absolutely. Is there anything that you're looking forward to in 2025?
Stability.
You will never have stability in the insurance market. Nothing's the same. I know agency runs the same. No carrier runs the same. You know, the state rules are supposed to be the same, but they're not even the same. Yeah.
Every state is different. I mean, look at North Carolina and Florida, the two biggest states that we're in right now. I mean, you worked in both of them. Well, they're all different. The regulations are different. I'm excited that insurance is recession-proof and everybody needs insurance, right? I'm glad that at Prepared, our kind of motto is we want to insure the biggest investment you'll ever have. So as long as people keep buying homes and living in homes, we'll be okay.
On that note, I have one question, and I don't know if you can help. I browse social media. We all do.
Yeah.
No. And I saw a gentleman who posted that he has a forced place policy. Forced place policies, they don't cover a whole lot.
They do not cover a whole lot. And unfortunately, insurance carriers, standard carriers view that as a lapse of insurance. So it's very hard to get out of a forced place insurance, and they're more expensive than a standard insurance policy. So we'd want to determine how long they've been on forced place and why. I mean, there are events that happen, you know, if there was unfortunately a death in the family or something like that, and the mortgage or the insurance wasn't paid and there's a mortgage on the home, so therefore they needed forced place insurance. You know, we can work around some things, but if you just decided you didn't want to pay your insurance and now you've been on forced place for 6 months and now you end up spending more money, I mean, that's hard. Not a lot of carriers will take a lap.
Well, let's not forget about our listeners who are new to the industry as well. So sorry to cut you off, Laura.
There you go. Please do. Thank you.
So if I may, can you explain to our audience what a home insurance deductible is and how it differs from a hurricane deductible, for example? Because we did touch on Hurricane Milton and Hurricane Helene. For people who are new to the industry, how can you break that down for them?
Not to confuse anybody, but there are several different deductibles that you can have. You can have what we call an AOP deductible, which is an all the perils deductible. So that would be, you know, if lightning hits your house, fire hits your house, say your deductible is $1,000. Then there's hurricane deductible, which it would actually have to be a named hurricane in order for that deductible to take place. Then there's a named storm deductible. Any storm that's actually named, that could be a deductible. Then there's also a wind and hail deductible. Now, not everybody has all of those on their policy. They either have an AOP and a hurricane deductible, or an AOP and a wind and hail, or a named storm. Those two are the more common ones. So that would be, you know, anytime the wind blew for your wind and hail deductible, that's what would kick in. So basically what the deductible is say, for example, you have a $1,000 deductible and you have a $10,000 claim. You're responsible for the first $1,000, but it's not necessarily like you're putting $1,000 out of pocket. What it is the insurance company will only pay you up to $9,000 for that $10,000 claim. So you are responsible for that, but it's not like you need to hand over $1,000 to the insurance company in order to get that $9,000.
That makes sense to me, because in the state of Washington, they do have the named storm, not the hurricane, because they don't typically have hurricanes. But I'm like, they're actually naming winter storms now.
Yeah.
The snowstorms and stuff. I'm like, when did they start doing that? I think they just love to name storms.
Well, it's all from NOAA, so. That's for other people.
I think that's their joy in life, is to just name a storm.
Yeah, name storm and wind and hail are the more common ones, more so than a hurricane.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you. Learn something new again, too. One other question is, we're planning our event calendar for 2025, visiting different various conventions. What are your suggestions or your favorite events that you have gone to in recent years, what you're planning maybe even to do in 2025?
I am always a fan of supporting your big eye. So no matter what state you're in, definitely being a trusted choice agent, you want to support your big eye. So any big eye event, you know, down in Florida, FAIA is a huge one. Any big eye expo in the Carolinas we tend to go to. Those are the ones that I would recommend. Also, in North Carolina, we have like IIANC, which is fantastic. And they do like lunch and learns or CEs, or if you're a young agent, they have an agents convention. If you're under 40, highly recommend you go to those. It's great networking. You get to meet your peers that are in the industry. I mean, I've learned a lot. The speakers in those are absolutely fantastic. The big eyes do a lot of vetting in order to make sure that it's an educational and also networking for everybody. Also going to those expos where all the other carriers are. So it's a great opportunity for a agent or an agency principal to meet all of their marketing reps, shake their hands, look them in the eye, get the updates, and you get all of that within 2 days instead of waiting for the marketing rep to come into the agency or getting the email from the carrier of what's changing. I would do that on a higher level, but also for an agency principal or young agent groups. I definitely think that that's powerful, getting your face out into the public, having your name. I think that's definitely valuable because, you know, if you go to a realtor's event and then the realtor's gonna be like, hey, I like you. I know you know what you're talking about. Here, take care of my insured or take care of my client, you know, and that's how you work together with networking. I highly recommend you do the big things, but also the little things.
I have also noticed this when the smaller events are really good. Mm-hmm. Like the teeny tiny things where you can't do additional.
I don't think any of an event is teeny tiny as long as you get some networking out of it.
That's very true.
Yeah, you can be in a meeting with 10 people, and if you have 10 connections, that's probably better than going to something that's medium-sized.
Right, exactly. And then you get those carrier relationships that you need to get that appointment. Agreed.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
Those are very great points that you brought up, Laura. I do agree that as far as big and small events, you can definitely leverage those and make sure that you're getting your name out there. Laura or LC1, do you have any other questions for our guests today?
Actually, I did. How can your clients or new clients reach you?
Yeah, if you are in Virginia, either Carolinas, Georgia, Florida, or Texas, please check us out at www.preparedinsuranceagency.com. You can call us directly at 910-498-8467. If you have any specific questions, please go ahead and ask for me directly, LC2, so I know you came from the blog, or Laura Crumpton.
So that is awesome. Thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you very much for coming. As always, I learn a great deal from you every time we have a conversation. And if you have any questions about agents, you can reach us at support@agency.com. I thank you very much for coming today.
Yes, thank you so much, Laura. And to our listeners, thank you for listening. We will see you on the next episode.